hours.
Blog Talk Radio.
Who is January Jones? She is not a young, beautiful, talented actress on Mad Men. She is not an older, gorgeous, exotic dancer from the Johnny Carson Show. She is an author, and she wrote Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th Commandment, that reached number one at Amazon.com. She is a reality TV golf personality with World High Stakes Golf televised on HDNet. She is a humorist and winologist expert. She is your featured host today on January Jones Sharing Success Stories. So sit back, relax, and get ready to laugh and listen to Ms. Jones with her eclectic roster of guests as you learn life's lessons. These stories plus sharing equals success. Welcome, and remember, beware, because you are entering the no-whining world of January Jones.
Now let me ask you a question. Have you ever heard about the Wizard of Oz? Well, who hasn't heard about the Wizard? It's one of my favorite films. It's one that we all love. Would you like to learn more about why we love Oz? And have you ever wanted to know about the legends of Oz? Tell me, can you imagine increasing your wealth while becoming part of a film franchise? Would you like to know more about how that would work out for you? Have you ever heard about a film called The Legends of Oz? It's a film that's 3D animated. Or better yet, would you like to meet someone who has some of the answers that we're looking for? Now, are you ready to learn how to be successful and how to be an independent filmmaker? If you can answer yes, or maybe, to any of these questions, then you are in the right place, and I would like to welcome you to January Jones Sharing Success Stories. Today I will be introducing you to my guest. He is a success coach extraordinaire. He will provide us with wonderful, informative, and inspirational lessons and some really, really great advice. I am pleased to announce that this show is now live on Talk for Media and syndicated on iHeart Radio Talk with over 50 million listeners and Blog Talk Radio with over 1.8 million listeners to date. We are archived 24/7 for your listening pleasure. Also, LinkedIn has announced that my profile was one of the top 5% most viewed last year. Now, let me tell you about my guest. If he had a title, it would be a catalyst for life change, project promoter, or seeker of meaning. His career is indefinable, but a series of seemingly unrelated experiences brought him to where he is today, aiming to increase people's wealth by raising capital for one of Hollywood's most exciting and monumental projects, The Legends of Oz, a 3D animated film franchise. It's my pleasure to welcome to the show Greg Centineo. Hi, Greg. How are you doing today?
Hi, January. I'm doing really great. And congratulations to you. I heard those accolades about your show. So congrats.
Well, thank you very much, dear. It's wonderful to have you on the show. I've been looking forward to this. We're going to talk about a franchise and a film project that is something I have never heard about before, and I'm sure my listeners haven't either. Before we get to that, Greg, would you share with us your success story? Where did your story begin? Where were you born? Who were your early mentors?
Great. Yeah, I was born in New York City. I think probably the listeners picked that up from my introduction. born and raised there. I can't lose the accent. I then spent a little bit of time, about 20 years in Florida before spending most of the time in Los Angeles. So I'm a New York raised individual. Some of the most powerful mentors in my life, early and old now, would be mm-hmm. Albert Einstein, Gandhi, Martin Luther King Jr., Steve Jobs, individuals that really kind of saw things that others didn't see way ahead of time. And so I kind of really get inspired by those types of thinkers.
Okay, now you were into the financial marketing. You're doing a lot of franchise. How did you get going into that type of career?
That's a great question, Jenny. You know, my dad taught us all his kids, you know, do what you love in this world, and so we did. We actually took that literally. And rarely did I ever hold a job. I just actually did things I really enjoyed doing. And so It really is, my life has taken a very different meandering course, if you would.
Uh-huh.
I've done things from worked in grocery stores and produce sections to cutting grass. That was short-lived, uh-huh. by the way. That was not something I really enjoyed. But you know, and then moved into more into theology, believe it or not. I actually spent time... I got a degree in theology and spent some time actually working in the ministry a little bit as a youth pastor.
Oh my gosh.
For many years.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just kind of hopped to different things, got involved, did what I like to do, and then moved on to something else, got into franchising, a coffee franchise that we launched from the ground up back in 99. And then got involved in bank finance and then structured finance. And then ultimately it led me to the opportunity to be part of an animated 3D franchise.
Okay. You have such an eclectic resume. Now, when I was reading your bio, you were influenced strongly by your father's teachings. So your father would have been a mentor, and he taught you that it took money to make money. Tell us about that.
Yeah, really, you know, we hear it a lot, very, very unique concept that he told me very few people in the world would ever apply. You know, he said, he just teach us that there were two ways that you made money in this world.
Mm-hmm.
One, you work for it, and then two, it works for you.
Oh, I like that.
He said very few people will ever learn the art of making money work, and will spend the rest of their lives working for it. And it's true. And so he taught us the principles of leverage specifically, and not through sitting down and kind of long dialogues, but he would literally, real-life situations he put us in, we wouldn't know it that these were lessons that we were learning, but we were actually learning them. And then about a decade after you were involved in these things, it would kind of hit you what the principle was. And you walked away understanding it because you internalized it. So he was a great man. He passed away last year in May.
Oh,
so he'll never get a chance to see this film, at least from this paradigm.
Uh-huh.
But he really taught us tremendous, tremendous principles about living your dreams, creating your dreams, actually, and learning how to make money work.
Okay. And was your dad, did he work in finance, and what was his career?
Well, he's best defined as an entrepreneur. He did. He.
Oh,
you certainly think my life was meandering. You should have seen his. So he was. He was a great entrepreneur. He was involved in everything. One of the great things about my father, and I think he passed down to many of his kids, was he always wanted to help people. And he did. He always set out. If he learned something, he wanted to educate somebody on what he learned. And he passed that along to us. So he was a great entrepreneur. He lived what he spoke, and that he'll be admired for forever.
Okay. And are your siblings entrepreneurs too, or are you the only one who followed his path?
No, they all are. There were five of us in total, and I think we all kind of adopted his principles in our own ways, and we all really are very independent thinkers doing our own things in our own areas.
That's fantastic. Now, tell us a little bit about, we know a little bit about your background, very eclectic. You were in the coffee franchise, and you went into residential lending, structured financing with Washington Mutual, and then you are now going into Legends of Oz, and this is a franchise project. Now, what did you ever think you'd be involved in movies?
I never thought I'd be involved in anything I was involved in.
Okay.
No, I never did. Yeah, never did. No, it was really a really serendipitous kind of, as everything else has been for me, one of those things that just kind of came around to me and was very interesting. I heard about it back in 07 directly from the CEO of the production company, Summertime Entertainment. Mm-hmm. He really had a great idea. He had a phenomenal plan and vision to launch an independent. This would be the first ever independent animation film ever to hit uh-huh. theater screens. And he had a great idea. He had a great brand dealing with the continuation of The Wizard of Oz. And, you know, he shared that vision with me back in 07. He got my name from a mutual friend. And he felt that with my skill sets, you know, particularly the leveraging abilities, understanding leverage, and then belief, you know, everything about what you do in this world really, really centers on how strongly you really believe in it.
Uh-huh.
Which always equates to then tenacity. That's how you get things done. So
yeah.
He knew I was a man of strong belief, and one thing led to another. We dialogued, and I thought it was a long shot. Matter of fact, we titled the project back in 07, my brother and I. We called it the Hail Mary.
And you've
really did.
And you've been working on this since 07, so we're talking about a good 7 years of development here, aren't we?
It's actually 9 years, because these guys actually started the early development in 05.
Okay.
When they went ahead and made a option to purchase 10 original Wizard of Oz sequels from Roger S. Baum, who's the great grandson of the author of The Wizard of Oz. So this all began in 05. I engaged in 07.
Uh-huh.
And like I said, this is a $110 million project that has been funded independently. Yeah, this is no low-budget animation film. This is a very substantial franchise that really launched with the notion and the desire to maintain full autonomy and control of it, so not lose it to a studio or to a hedge fund, but to literally allow the investors, individual investors, to literally own the copyrights and the intellectual properties of your franchise. So it was a very different type of model, and we really were set on raising the money, having zero debt, which we have no debt in the project, and building and owning all the assets that we've created. So we're a full, not only animation 3D franchise, but we're also a transmedia franchise, because we have our own virtual world, our own mobile applications, casual digital games. We have a beautiful scope of licensing deals from some of the largest companies in the world. Matter of fact, our merchandise just went off the shelves in Toys R Us 2 weeks ago. It was only on the shelves for 3 days and sold out.
Oh, fantastic, fantastic.
And thank you. And that's what we refer to as a franchise. It's not just a film. A 3D film, a 3D story, but it literally creates ancillaries. It generates other revenue streams into other industries. And so you really build a wonderful concept that can go on for many, many years.
Oh, this is an amazing story, a success story that you're sharing with our listeners. We're going to take a break and have a commercial. And when we come back with Greg Centineau, we'll talk more about the love of Oz and the worldwide appeal that Oz has for everyone. We'll be right back.
Do you want to learn how to live into your dreams? One Door Closes, Overcoming Adversity by Following Your Dream. The new book by Tom Ingracia and Jared Kredimski captures the thought-provoking stories of 16 people from all walks of life who have triumphed over adversity to achieve their goals. Plus, you'll get 10 self-assessment tools to design your own blueprint for success. Unlock your true potential. Fulfill your dreams. Be inspired. One Door Closes is available from Amazon.com. Everyone deserves a happy life. Life is supposed to be fun. Your life is supposed to feel good, and you're meant to feel happiness in your life and to satisfy your dreams. And you can. Because the only reason anyone wants anything or does anything is that they think they will feel better in the having of it or the doing of it. They think they will feel better in the experiencing of it. Coming soon, a website where you can learn more on how you can have the life you deserve at afeelgoodworld.com.
Welcome back, and Tom and Jared will be on the show with me later this month, as will Dale Bruner, sharing his feel-good world. Right now, we're visiting with Greg Centennial, and he is sharing with us the Legends of Oz. Now, Greg, talk a little bit about the worldwide appeal that Oz has for just about everyone.
Thanks, Jenny. Yeah, it's an amazing story. Frank Baum writes the book in 1899, and it's his second book, and it becomes a huge success. It makes its way onto the stage of Broadway in 1903. There's four live-action films made before the 1939 movie, and it's just a really big success worldwide. There's something that resonates, I think, and these are my personal opinions, you know, because I have even been drawn to The Wizard of Oz, and then to have this project be a part of my life, which is kind of the sequel to it. It kind of really and the success that we've had building this now has really brought me to the history of The Wizard of Oz, to the author himself. I've read three biographies of Frank Baum to find out who he was and why his story and the movie of 39 by MGM Studios has really had the resilience over the decades, it's basically 114 years and going strong.
Yeah.
And there's something that I think resonates with the story of humanity that he so articulately spelled out for us in A Wonderful Tale. One, you know, it's the journey, and we all have to journey. You can't stand still. You have to walk that yellow brick road.
Mm-hmm.
Along the way, you know, and you're lost is the reality. Something's wrong. You know, you're lost. You've got your problem. Dorothy was not home. And so we all feel like, in one way or another, that we're aliens in this world and we're going for another place, you know how it goes. And along her journey down the path, which is ambiguous, she meets others that have problems as well.
Mm-hmm.
Scarecrow, Tin Man, Lion.
Mm-hmm.
And so they decide to create community amongst themselves, and they decide to go to the guy who's got all the answers, the wizard, who they end up, when they run into him, realize he's got more problems than the four of them put together.
So, it's true.
So the moral of the story is you're not going to find the answer here. It's actually within you. And so the power of that story is that it's always been within you. And so journey inside yourself. And I think it's whether understood, felt, it's what many around the world have felt in their inner beings and have loved this film. Which, you know, I don't know if you realize the Library of Congress says that The Wizard of Oz is the most watched movie ever.
Wikipedia
calls it one of the most famous films ever made worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
Survey was taken, a poll was taken on Journal Sentinel Online a couple of years ago, and 99% of the people that they polled had seen The Wizard of Oz.
Okay, that's amazing. Now, tell us, Greg, what was it like working with the Baum family and bringing authenticity to the film and updating it for today's market, consumers, and for the animated film market? What was that like?
You know, it was fantastic opportunity, you know, to be connected to one of the great names in American history, literature, including, you know, it's America's original fairy tale. So to have a connection to that family was a little bit surreal. I got to be honest with you, as you know, we've all grown up with The Wizard of Oz, and then to be that close to the family was a remarkable experience for all of us. And, you know, Roger, who has written now 16 sequels in his lifetime, I think he's 77 now.
Okay.
He just had a birthday. He might kill me if he's 76, but I think he's 76 or 77. Sorry, Roger. He's just taken on where his great-grandfather left off and has been writing these stories since 87. He's doing great, and he's writing very, very quickly now because of the success that we've already achieved in taking his stories to a very large venue, you know, worldwide box office. So it's been a great experience to be a part of that and part of the American history as far as literature goes.
Oh, for sure. Now, Legends of Oz is the subtitle is Dorothy's Return, and it's based on an option property. Did this present any specific challenges when you were pitching this film to potential investors and partners? I mean, Dorothy's Return is basically a whole new story, isn't it?
It really is, written in 1987, known as Dorothy of Oz, which was the title of the book. And, yeah, I mean, it wasn't. It actually really aided us in the ability to bring on investors because everybody was familiar with it. If I was doing something, you know, called, you know, the Legends of Springs, it would have been a problem because nobody heard of it. But
this,
you know, everybody you spoke to, you know, knew of The Wizard of Oz. And the fact, January, that no studio ever in history put an animated film together and put it in a theater screen. So it's never been done before. So it really was perplexing for all of us to say, how come, you know, Pixar didn't do this with Disney and DreamWorks?
Yeah, really.
And I see that question all the time, and I said, I really don't know. You should call them, but don't, because don't give them any ideas. Let us do it.
Yeah, you really would wonder about, well, who actually is going to do the animation for you?
Well, everything's done. You know, we come out May 9th, so we're just about 31 days away from our domestic wide release. Two companies did the animation for us, and it's always great to talk about these guys. Ken Duncan from Duncan Studios in Pasadena.
Okay.
Ken had a phenomenal career with Disney. His studio did what's called the animatics, so the set designs, the art designs, the character designs, and Kenny did all of our character designs. He's the same gentleman that created Belle from Beauty and the Beast and the Lion King characters, Tarzan's characters. So he did all of our set designs, art designs. They did a great job. In 2010, when those blueprints were done, we went ahead and shipped the project to a company called Prana. Prana is actually in Mumbai, India. And that's a company that's been, they've been involved with Transformers and Thor. And then recently with the Disney organization, they've done the Planes animation film for Disney that came out last year was a big hit, and the Tinkerbell series. And so it's been a very unique model for us, using all types of companies from around the world. Matter of fact, we've employed over 3,000 people worldwide during the recession.
Well, that's fantastic. That's wonderful. Now, you know, I take my grandchildren to see all of the movies. Every time they all come out, we're just right there on opening day. We can't not go. And in so many of the animated movies, they have celebrities who do the voices. Have you done that with this film?
Yeah, we have. You know, I got to remind you, January, you know, go back to 07, 08, 09, you know, we didn't, you know, I thought I was going to have to play the voice of Dorothy. We're an independent with no credibility, no track record.
Yeah.
We've never done this. We need $110 million. Oh, you do? Yeah. I mean, there really wasn't a lot of people putting a tremendous amount of hope and belief in what we were doing. So, you know, I just want to remind the audience that that's where this all began. We really, really were in a position. Matter of fact, we would tell all the earlier investors, you know, in the first 3 or 4 years, that this was probably one of the great opportunities that they'd ever see in their life, but they would lose every dime they put into it. That was a perplexing statement, you can imagine. And they said, How can that be true? It's a paradox. I said, but it's true. I said, because you'll never be able to invest in animation in Hollywood because they don't want your money.
No.
You know, and you're certainly not going to own the rights, the copyrights to the animation, and you're certainly not going to be something as large as The Wizard of Oz. So that's a great opportunity, but I don't think we're ever going to pull this off. And that was true. And so they would say, then why should we put anything into this? I said, just in case we do.
Oh,
because
if
we see, and that's to the audience, money makes money. And you realize if you can own the characters, we own the characters, you know, not Dorothy, the Dorothy, we own our Dorothy, we own our Scarecrow, our Tin Man, and the new characters that make up our film. Our investors own those characters. So if they're on a toy, or they're in a game, or they're on a food box, we get paid forever. It's a perpetuity deal. So I said, you're going to lose your money, but you should have something in it just in case we pull it off. So so just remember that. So the cast came along really slow. We want to give props to Jim Belushi, who was the first actor to sign on for us. And, I mean, God bless him. I mean, he signed on in 08. He plays the Lion.
Oh, okay.
And Scarecrow's played by Danny Aykroyd. Kelsey
oh, my
Grammer.
Gosh. Oh, gosh.
Yeah, Kelsey Grammer plays the Tin Man.
Okay.
Lea Michele from Glee is the star of our film. She plays Dorothy, and we're a musical, so we have eight songs in the film, and Lea sings three of those eight songs. Some of the peripheral cast, newer characters from the book that were introduced, Marshall Mallow is played by Hugh Dancy, Megan Hilty, and Megan plays China Princess, Oliver Platt plays Wise of the Owl, Patrick Stewart, or should I say Sir Patrick Stewart,
plays
Tug.
Okay.
Bernadette Peters is Brenda.
Oh, I love her. I love her.
And Martin Short is the Jester, who's the New Villain.
Oh, I love this movie already. What a fantastic cast. I bet you were just thrilled to sign each and every one of them. You know, we're going to take a break and hear from our sponsors. And when we come back with Greg, we're going to talk a little more about the website and how you can find out more about the Legends of Oz. We'll be right back.
Have you ever met someone who was unforgettable? Someone who has touched your heart and soul? People who have faced difficult problems? People who have fearlessly shared their stories, their struggles, and their successes. People who have priceless personalities. In my new book, Priceless Personalities, Success Stories Shared by January Jones, I am honored to be able to share with you people dealing with problems such as incest, molestation, child abuse, drug abuse, polygamy, unemployment, scandal, starting over, self-esteem, and workplace issues. My guests have all been exciting, eclectic, and energizing. They will amaze, amuse, and even astonish you. You will adore getting to meet them at Amazon.com. My book is now available, 2-for-1, paperback and Kindle editions.
Are you a fitness professional, a trainer, or a coach? Would you like consistent and timely updates on your team's performance? We have a completely customizable app that can give you real-time information via the internet or your handheld phone. Track the performance of your client's progress with their physical fitness regimen. Track team members' performance or schedule a workout session. Meet up at the gym, on the bike trail, or wherever your physical activities take you. The app is called Socially Fit, or SoFit, and can be found on the iTunes Store. Look for the blue Socially Fit icon. When combined with data analysis capabilities, you not only feel the effects of your fitness routine, you also see the graphical progress of your results. The app makes the complex simple, so that more of your time is spent sculpting your physique, with less time tracking your results with old-fashioned pen and paper. Download it today to begin a new year with data to show your progress in meeting your goals. Are you socially fit?
Well, I hope all of you listening, if you are not, that you will become socially fit with me this year. I'm happy to welcome back Greg Centineo, and he is involved with The Legends of Oz, Dorothy's Return. Now, Greg, before we give your website information and share more information about this amazing animated project, could you answer a question? Are the songs, who wrote the, what's the song track? Are these original songs, and who wrote it?
They are original songs. Brian Adams collaborated with Tiff Merritt and Jim Dooley and Jim Valance.
Uh-huh.
Brian probably contributed 5 of the 8 songs and collaborated on the 3. They're beautiful songs on the film. Soundtrack's available actually on May 6th. It's actually pre-ordered now on Best Buy.
Okay.
But
So
Brian did it. And I got to mention January, the musical score. And I'm not a big musical score guy, by the way. But I will tell you, it is absolutely spectacular. It was done by Toby Chu, Deborah Laurie, Jim Valance, all Emmy Award-winning composers in the industry.
Right.
Vicki Hyatt was the music supervisor. It's really phenomenal, the score. You'll see it in the film when it comes out, especially at the end during the credits. It's really unique credits to this film.
Yeah.
The score, so appreciate it.
Oh, I know. I'm a big one for credits. Having been in the L.A. area for so long, I was always looking to see if there was anyone I knew in the credits, and guess what? There usually was. Let's talk a little bit about the website and where people can get more information and your marketing campaign, your media campaign.
Yeah, legendsofozmovie.com is the consumer website. So legendsofozmovie.com.
Movie, okay.
And that's going to really give you a lot of good stuff. Obviously, our Facebook page as well is Legends of Oz. Most of it, Twitter, same thing, Legends of Oz. You can go to iTunes and you can kind of watch the trailer. We have a 2-minute and 19-second trailer that's up there, plus a 71-second trailer.
Uh-huh.
You can also go to our virtual world, which I would highly recommend, called legendsofozworld.com.
World. Okay, wonderful, great. Okay, now putting this together, and this is the first time anything like this has ever been done. Now, did you have to, this unique financing model, did you have to do roadshow presentations, conference calls? How did you network to get the word out to investors about this program?
Well, it's a good question, and it's complex because you're following really strict guidelines, you know, in private placements, you know, Reg Bs. So you really have to have an existing relationship. And so really for us, it's mostly friends and family that are involved in this project. And that continues to grow over time because as a family member is in the project, you know, they introduce it to another family member, et cetera. So it kind of matriculated itself that way, which was a little bit more on the unique side, you know. And so we were very fortunate in that way of maintaining, you know, those guidelines. And it's not easy, but you do. So you can't solicit, you know, you're not permitted to solicit business. You know,
right.
So this is, it was, you know, add those complexities to the raise. On top of that, should I remind everybody, we were in a worldwide recession. Countries were going bankrupt at the time.
Exactly.
You know, it was so, you know, I remember being told that, you know, we were doing this project at the worst possible time in history.
Sounds about right. It sounds about right. But, you know, the reality is animation is so big. As I said earlier, I've got 7 grandkids and we, you know, are there for every movie. The day it opens, everyone's waiting in line. And we've been very pleased with the quality of animation, the humor. What I've loved about it recently is that any age can relate to various stages. You know, the adults enjoy it, the teenagers love it, and the kids adore it. What are your thoughts about animation and the unlimited possibilities that it offers?
Well, even from a story perspective, it's unlimited. That's the beauty about animation. You can. There's no laws of gravity. There's really no laws at all. Principles. You can do whatever you like to do in the world of animation. So I think artists, writers are really drawn to the platform of animation. As far as a medium for not just children, but for adults, it's a very, very lucrative industry. I mean, if you look at the numbers, they speak for themselves. You know, the Lego movie, which, by the way, was only a $60 million film, did $69 million in the opening weekend. Do you realize that outperformed Frozen, which was a $150 million film in the opening weekend? So, I mean, the numbers speak for themselves. Even The Nut Job, which was a lower-budgeted animation, $42 million film, had a $20 million opening weekend. $20 million. Live-action films would die for those types of openings. $20 million. That's what they gross in their box office, let alone open. You know, Despicable Me. Great stories, absolutely great concepts. Despicable Me 2 did almost $1 billion worldwide. It's a $75 million film. So, you know, it's there. It speaks for itself. You know, there's no argument anymore. The animation industry, whether it's a $40 million film or a $260 million movie from Pixar named Tangled, they're performing large box office numbers, parents and kids and grandparents. Okay. I'm not going once, but they're going twice and sometimes three times.
Oh, it's so true about that. You know, I was there for opening day for Lego with three of my grandsons, and it was like the biggest day of the month for them. They were so thrilled. And what I loved about it, Greg, is it's as you said, it's family entertainment, and it addresses the entertainment for every level, every age, every stage. There's something for everyone. And I'm thrilled that these movies are doing so well. And I know that your movie will, I just can't wait. As I look at the list of Jim Belushi, Kelsey Grammer, Lea Michele, Patrick Stewart, wow. This is quite a cast that you've assembled. Or are you surprised that it turned out this well?
Probably the word shocked.
Shocked.
Which is a good word. You know, yeah, come on. You know, I can't stand here today and go, I knew it the whole time. No,
right.
I mean, I said this, it's not really kidding around when I say it, but there was a miracle every single quarter.
Oh, I bet.
In the years that I've worked on this project. It's one miracle after another. I used to tell all of our partners, I go, you know what, guys, you get cold-hearted sometimes. You forget the miracles. You forget we shouldn't be where we are. You forget we have no business being at this level. We are. We're a very anticipated film. We're the number one most anticipated film on MovieInsider.com. And we've been running the number one, number two spot there for over a year on Movie Insider. So, you know, I think it's something that's being embraced, and let me tell you, I'm not subjective in this. I'm being very objective when I tell you, to do what I did took a tremendous amount of tenacity and belief, but also excellence. I'm a firm believer in doing things right. I want things done well.
Uh-huh.
So when I looked at the movie, we called it finished in 2012, we were not happy. I wasn't happy.
Really?
Oh, no. No, no way. And, you know, we showed it to a lot of the partners. We traveled around the country, and I think they were okay with it, but it wasn't good enough. And so we went back and invested a lot more money into it. We made proper changes, and the movie is fantastic. And I speak now from somebody that has a high level of excellence, and I promise you, you go out to that film with your kids, and because we've tested it and retested it and tested it and tested it over and over and over again. And we score very, very high with young boys and girls, and even moms, grandmoms, and great grandmoms. So it's a great film, great story, and great music.
Oh, that's an interesting comment that you went back to the drawing board and got it right. Of course, you certainly had a large enough budget to get it right, $110 million. That is fantastic. You know, we're going to take a break and hear from our sponsors. And when we come back with Greg, he's going to tell us about his upcoming projects, and he's going to give us some advice for entrepreneurs and also share with us what success means to him and if he has any regrets or things he would do over. We'll be right back.
Lately, there's a whining epidemic in our world. People are even whining about whining. Are you sick and tired of listening to everyone whining all the time? So was January Jones, the author of Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th commandment that reached number one at Amazon.com. Ms. Jones based her book on a survey of the top 10 things that people whine about at all ages and all stages of life. January is a success coach that can tell you how to help others. When you buy Thou Shalt Not Whine, the 11th commandment, you'll find out what people whine about and how to stop them from whining. This is the perfect gift book to give or get for any occasion. Thou Shalt Not Whine was voted the best gift to be given anonymously for those special people in your life. Ms. Jones is an internationally known author in the style of Irma Bombeck, specializing in housewife humor, with her book being published in Korea and China. You can find Thou Shall Not Whine at Amazon.com. What is AATH? The Association for Applied and Therapeutic Humor is a nonprofit, member-driven international community of humor and laughter professionals and enthusiasts. AATH provides its members the education, cutting-edge resources, and supportive community they need to excel in the practice and promotion of healthy humor. AATH welcomes anyone who is interested in learning more about the application and benefits of therapeutic humor. Members include scholars, psychologists, counselors, nurses, social workers, physicians, educators, clergy, hospital clowns, and many others who incorporate humor in their life and work. AATH was created to disseminate information about humor and laughter, laughter play and well-being, provide a caring, supportive community of humor professionals and enthusiasts. Check out our AATH at www.aath.org today.
Welcome back with Greg Centennio, and he is the, well, I think producer is what I would call you. I'm not sure your official title, The Legends of Oz, Dorothy's Return. Greg says that in everything I have done in my life, I have had the privilege of creating it with others and giving them a different paradigm of the world we live in. And this movie certainly will give us a different paradigm. Tell us a little bit, Greg, about what success means to you today as we speak and visit with you.
You know, success, and I think that word has an individual interpretation throughout the history of our own lives. I think it's defined differently over the course of our lives. And I mean, for me right now, you know, I think it is fully becoming, you know, what I was intended to be.
Uh-huh.
And living that, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Just really understanding who you are and being authentic to that person, irregardless of what others say or think, mm-hmm. and trying to stay true to yourself. And I think that's something that I've learned now. I just turned 50, and I have other quotes on the screen, but I've just turned 50, and after 50 years, you know, you learn that. It's really about being authentic and mm-hmm. believing mm-hmm. in yourself.
Mm-hmm. And you state in your biography that I was looked to for answers, and then as I matured, I came to understand that true leadership is about helping people ask better questions and letting them lead themselves. That is so powerful. And to bring together a community of investors and to create such an amazing project, I don't think it gets any better than that, does it?
It doesn't. It really doesn't. It's one of the greatest accomplishments of my life.
Uh-huh,
to have been part of such a great, great group of producers and leaders mm-hmm. around me. I mean, I'm one of many.
Yeah.
I had my role and responsibilities. Bonnie Raffert was the producer of the film, Dan St. Pierre, Will Finn, the directors, and uh-huh. Ryan Carroll, Roland Carroll, the producers as well. And it just great teams of people that have come along. But it is. The problem sometimes is we look for an answer. And then, you know, when you get an answer, then what?
Yeah,
you get the answer. I still say my kids, driving with my kids now are 17 and 19.
Uh-huh.
And when they were younger, 6 and 7, they'd sit in the back and they'd ask me a question and I'd give them an answer. And there'd be a follow-up question and another follow-up. It was never about the answer for a kid. It was about the next question. And that's exploration.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what happens is we kind of stop that. You know, mm-hmm. we get an answer and we're okay with it and we stay stagnant in our lives. And I think growth and success are simultaneous to each other, and they happen simultaneously. If you don't grow, you won't succeed. If you're afraid of change, you're doomed. And you know, so I think it is about better questions. And because we live in a vast universe that we as human beings only occupy independently about 2 square feet of the universe at any given time.
Right.
So we really know little. As Einstein said, it's truth is relative to us. As humans, us. So
now, what advice do you have for independent filmmakers or budding entrepreneurs based on this experience of putting together Legends of Oz, Dorothy's Return?
Well, hope. If we did it, you can do it. And we didn't do it through traditional walkways or paths. You know, I looked at the model, and I'm not a Hollywood guy, so you know that mm-hmm. from my background. I got into this industry and I looked at the model and I said, it's broke. What? I'm not doing it that way. It doesn't work. Well, the chances of success were so small doing it that way. Why would I even tempt it?
Mm-hmm.
So we pioneered, and we did. We jumped, and we went a different direction. And, you know, somebody asked me the other day at the L.A. Film Finance Forum, they said, are you going to write a book? I said, about what? And they said, how you did this?
Yeah.
I said, so you'll buy it? And they go, yeah. I said, I'll make a lot of money. And they said, probably. And I said, but the truth is, I said, my experience in doing this was I had to get up every day and figure out how to do it every day. So guess what? You got to do the same thing. It's, you know, we look for these shortcuts. I can inspire people.
Uh-huh.
I can tell you, you can learn from our path. My dad used to always say, there's two ways you learn things in this world, Gregory. He said, your experiences and somebody else's. And he said, it's always cheaper to go by somebody else's experience. So you can certainly learn from my experiences. But ladies and gentlemen, the hope you have is that you can do it. It's going to take belief. It's
mm-hmm.
going to take tenacity.
Mm-hmm.
And it's gonna, and you have to, and you, that builds hope in what you're doing, and that's what it takes. And so if we did it, you can do it. But I will tell you, if you don't change, you're not going to succeed. I've talked to directors and writers,
right?
And I talk to these guys. They bring me scripts. I look at the path they're on. And I realize it's such a bottleneck. Very few ever get through. And I say, you better jump. Jump
uh-huh.
and try something, try to do it differently. That's my challenge to everybody. And I think we pioneered it, which doesn't mean do exactly what we did, but
right.
go ahead and pioneer.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you certainly did. You certainly did jump outside the box to create this fantastic project. I have 1 minute more. Do you have any regrets, Greg, or things you wish you had done differently?
You know, you always do, and that it doesn't matter. It's too late. It's the right line. So, if you knew it was a regret when you were doing it, you wouldn't have done it. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
I don't. I make mistakes. I always say 75% of what I do is a mistake, and 25% is the success. So I fail 75% of the time. Nobody ever mentions it because of the 25% of the successes that I have. So guess what? Get over it and move on.
Is the most fantastic advice anyone has ever given on this show. Get over it and get on. Get going and do it. And this has been just a delightful, delightful interview, and it's been a pleasure to share you with my audience, and I will be there watching your film with my 7 grandchildren. Can't wait for it to happen, and thank you, and I hope you will come back and visit with us again.
Genuinely, I would love to. And if the audience wants to contact me, they can contact me at gregcentineo.com. Last name is spelled C-E-N-T-I-N-E-O. Or email me at greg@gregcentineo.com. Thank you, January. This is a great show. I appreciate it. And it was fun.
Oh, it's been great. And to my wonderful listeners, we hope you've enjoyed our show today. It's been an amazing journey to The Legends of Oz, Dorothy's Return. I'm looking forward to it, and I know you all will be looking forward to it too. My upcoming guests for the show will all amaze, amuse, and astonish you, just like Greg did. This is the show where you hear inspiring information that will help you to become successful too. I would love to welcome you to our wonderful No Whining world. When you can, sign up at my website, januaryjones.com, with your name and email, and you will get a free download of the first 2 chapters of my latest book, Priceless Personalities. We love sharing our stories, our struggles, and our secrets for success. It's our hope we can encourage all of you to emulate our guests. Remember my mantra, if you think it, then you can do it. So for now, dear friends, please stop with the whining and then start smiling and then start sharing our show with everyone you know. And if that doesn't work, then start eating chocolate, lots and lots of chocolate. Again, thank you to my wonderful guest, Greg Centenaro. This is January Jones, thanking you for joining me today on my journey and reminding you to take care and stay safe.
We want to thank you for listening to January Jones Sharing Success Stories. Always remember Ms. Jones' personal mantra, if you can think it, you can do it. That's what all of our guests have done with their lives, and so can you. You are the ultimate success coach in your own life. All you need to do will be to start sharing your own story with your family and friends. We hope that our guest stories will encourage you to explore an equation in your future that will combine your creativity plus connecting with others will enable you to be successful too. Always remember, your passion plus your purpose will equal prosperity as you explore the wonderful world of January Jones.